Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, my friends. Welcome, welcome. I'm Rita Hawk Lane, your host for the next hour. Please join me as we venture deeper into our relationship with Jesus Christ. Please repeat after me. I am a child of the Most High God. Let's say it together. I am a child of the Most High God. Amen and alleluia. It's just wonderful if you can come to understand that it's true and what it means. Anyway, to get started, I'd like to use a portion of a prayer from the daily booklet of Magnificat on Pentecost. It was a prayer of St. Miriam Bacquardi. And I'm only going to use part of it, but it's really beautiful, and it's to the Holy Spirit. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. O most Holy Spirit, when you sent forth the ray of light, the disciples were transformed. They were no longer what they had been before. Their strength had been renewed. Offering sacrifices became easy. Then they got to know Jesus better than they had ever known him when he was among them. Source of peace and light, come and enlighten us. We are hungry, come and feed us. We are thirsty, come and quench our thirst. We are blind, come and enlighten us. We are poor, come and enrich us. We are ignorant, come and instruct us. Holy Spirit, we abandon ourselves to you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you're doing well. It's really funny. Every time we go to the shore, it rains on us for some reason. We've got the cloud over our heads when we go, and it's a little upsetting, but at the same time, it's just nice to be away. So anyway, I'm here today, and I am looking forward to sharing with you. It's going to be a little bit of a teaching session today, if you don't mind. I do want to share a quote with you, though, that I think speaks volumes of truth. And I heard it a couple of days ago, so I want to share it with you. And it is, to be separated from God is to be separated from life. To be separated from God is to be separated from life. He is our source of life. He is who loved us into being. Each and every one of us was loved into being by God our Father. And I just pray that you'll come to understand that someday if you don't already. And if you do, you will rejoice in it. And whether you do or not, you are a child of the Most High God. And so today, what I would like to do is share a little bit with you about some of the Old Testament teachings on the prophets. Now, don't turn off your radio. Don't tune out. The prophets, let me share a little bit with you about the riches of the Old Testament. It's kind of funny. I was in Florida a few years ago, and there was a church. It said the name of the church, which I don't remember. It says, "We are a New Testament church." We are a New Testament church. And I know what they were trying to say about, you know, the beauty of Jesus' teachings and the salvation that and life we get through Jesus. But you cannot know Jesus. You cannot know God the Father nor the Holy Spirit. Truly know them without knowing the Old Testament. I've been leading a women's Bible study at my parish for 24 and a half years. And we have studied a lot of Old Testament books, as well as New. But I'll tell you what we have found in studying the Old Testament books. We have found that God has always had a plan from day one of creation for us to be in union with Him. And in spite of our sins, yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us, etc., etc. He does not expect us to be perfect, to be in relationship with Him. And in the Old Testament, there are some people who think that the God of the Old Testament is not the same God as the New Testament. But the only way you can think that is if you have not studied it. Okay? The I really recommend, if you haven't done Father Mike Schmidt's Bible in a Year program, it's excellent. But if you really want to study, like, how God has worked throughout all the ages, since Adam and Eve, throughout all of the ages, and actually since before them, you really need to study the Great Adventures Bible timeline. It's all about what is called salvation history. It's the evidence through thousands of years of God's plan for humanity, His love for, His patience with, His constant calling of humanity. And it's really amazing. It's really, it's an eye-opener. There's nothing you could study that's more precious than to get to know Him and Jesus Christ and to know us than to study salvation history, which covers the whole Bible. It's really amazing. And so, and this, if you're on Facebook, you can see it. This is the Bible timeline. It starts with, you know, the early world, you know, before and after, during and after Adam and Eve, and goes all the way through the conquest and the judges, okay? And then you turn it over. The world's been around for a while. And it goes from the royal kingdom through the divided kingdoms and all the way over to Jesus Christ and the church today. And on this chart is a red line on both sides that is Jesus's genealogy. And it's just amazing. So I really recommend that you do that. The Bible Timeline by Ascension? I think Ascension Press puts it out, The Great Adventure. Jeff Cavins, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, try it. You'll like it. But I want to focus a little bit tonight on the prophets. If you read the Old Testament, you will see over and over and over again how when the people are in union with the Lord, things are so wonderful. I mean, literally, you know, the crops are good. He protects them from aggressors. He brings them out of misery into goodness. I mean, their children are blessed. It's remarkable. What He provides when the people are in union with Him. But what inevitably happens is, and it's happened even here in the United States, you become prosperous because you've been in union with the Lord. He blesses, we become prosperous. We invent things. Our businesses are prospering. Our crops are doing well. The environment's good, blah, blah, blah. But then we kind of forget about him because things are so good. We start patting ourselves on the back. I'm so smart. I'm so successful. Who needs God when we can do this ourselves, right? Well, then look around. Things aren't so good when we forget God and as a nation and as a people. And even in the church, there are people that have forgotten that God is God. He's not just my pal. He is my God. If he decided to sneeze and ignore me for 1 second, I wouldn't be here. Okay? That's how essential he is to us. And we have forgotten that. We've forgotten that we need to worship him and thank him for all that he does for us. We've forgotten a lot of things. We're on a not so good path. But you don't know that if you don't study scriptures in the Old Testament and see how easy it is for humankind to fall away from God and get attached to other things. And when that happens, we thwart his plans for us and cut off a lot of the graces that he really wants to give us, but he won't force on us. Okay? But you really get a lot of peace of mind when you study the Old Testament, because you realize that, hey, we've been through this before. One of the women in the Bible study last week said, the more we study, the more we see things are the same. And it's true. It's true. The more we study, the more we see things are the same. Situations change, but our human nature does not. And so we see ourselves in the Old Testament. If you're honest, we see ourselves in the Old Testament, in the good times and the bad times. And that's what it's there for, is to teach us, if things are going this way, and the people are not being faithful to the Lord as a group, things happen that are not so good. There's chaos, there's infighting, there's riots. Hello? There's all sorts of things like that. Divisions, impatience, you name it. It's not good. And you see it in the Old Testament. But you also see that there is a loving Father God who wants more than anything to point us in the right direction, to point us away from what causes all those horrible things. Because it's not him that causes it, it's us that cause it. Human beings, human nature. The power-hungry political leaders, intellectuals who worship their own minds. There's no need for God. I'm my own little God. Right? Flawed temple and church leaders. Hey, it's a reality. Broken marriages, neighbor against neighbor, believers who accept what they want to accept, and then they tell God what he should be doing or what he should tolerate instead of he who made us and knows what's best for us has told us what we should and shouldn't do. You see in the Old Testament a lack of respect for infants, both in the womb and out of the womb. And today we see that same lack of respect. We also see people who think that the disabled and the elderly should just die and get it over with so that the money can be spent on the young. I mean, obviously, we don't believe that. But there are people who truly believe that they are just taking up space. And it's very sad because they just don't know what they're talking about. But anyway, in King Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes, he's King David's son, the great King Solomon, he said in there, what has been, that will be. What has been done, that will be done. Nothing is new under the sun. He doesn't mean that we haven't invented things and we haven't improved things and all that sort of thing. What he's talking about is human nature. And the more you study scripture, the more you understand. It's not much has changed in all these thousands of years. We have weaknesses, we have strengths. We have times when we are in union with God, which is powerful in and of itself. Not only do we have our own gifts and talents and abilities, but we have God in infusing us and our culture with himself in ways that are very, very, very good. But we also have a history of rejecting God or being lukewarm, which is not a good thing either, and just turning our backs on him and doing our own thing and having faith in humankind, to solve the problems. Who needs God? We can do it. Well, how's that going these days, folks? How's that going? Anyway, I wanted to share a little bit of that because, I wanted to share with you a few things. You know, when you know that this is a common thing throughout history, you realize that it doesn't last forever. Things can get pretty doggone bad, though. You know, there are consequences for the sins that we commit and the bad decisions that we make when we pull away from God. There's consequences. And those things have a mushrooming effect. And so we have to live with that. And there are times when they're not that serious, and so they can be healed easily. But the longer we go without, as a nation, without the majority of us being faithful and being in union with the Lord, the worse things get and the harder to recover from. But you get peace of mind by studying the Old Testament because you see God is always waiting. It's his utmost desire for us to turn from our wickedness and return to him and to have relationship with him that's full and vibrant and amazing. And then he can be who he wants to be to us because we've given him permission. Believe it or not, he has to have permission for a lot of the things in our lives. Not everything, obviously, he's God. But for a lot of the spiritual, emotional, loving, caring stuff that goes on in our lives, the relationships and everything, he wants to reach out like any good parent and fix those things. But if we're saying, no, 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 we're okay, go away, you know, we're all right. Or that we're not listening to him like our children don't listen to us sometimes. Well, you realize you can't force them. And he's not the kind of God that's going to force us. He might make us think about it. You know, just like a good parent disciplines, he might discipline us and make us think about it to try to draw us back to the right and the good. But we have to cooperate. So anyway, when I read the Old Testament, it gives me realistic expectations for where we're going in the world and what the future may hold if we become faithful again or if we don't become faithful again. Either way, I know that the Lord is there. It gives me great peace of mind, even though things can worry me, you know. It also helps me to realize that, you know, there are numerous times like, hold on a second. I've got my notes here. And Oh, Jeremiah. We've been studying a lot of prophets, and even, even though they're different, there's a lot of the same kind of things going on with each one. So you kind of lose track of which one you're thinking of sometimes. But Jeremiah was sent by God to call the people back to him. For 40 years, he was with them, preaching, teaching, calling them back to the Lord, and had very little results. Very little results. Why? Because the people were deaf and blind to their sins and refused the messages from God through Jeremiah, and they were very hard-hearted. There's an epidemic of that going on in the world today. How often can you talk to anybody about anything that they might not believe or might not embrace as truth that will listen to you, will at least respect you enough to hear you out? We're in dire straits when we're in a world that people, just like in Jeremiah's time, will not hear the word of God, nor the promises that he has made, nor the consequences that are coming as a result of wide-scale sin. The situation is dire. It's dire. So we need to pray for people's hearts and minds to be opened, to be softened towards any truth of the Lord that they hear or see. Because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And in the prophets, you see people absolutely refusing, refusing, not all of them, but a lot of them refusing to hear the word of God. I love the ones where the people do listen, and their leaders and they themselves turn back to God. And the beauty of what happens after that is really wonderful. So, it's the good thing also is when you study the prophets in the Old Testament, you realize that nothing is ever hopeless. When we have hope in him, he does not disappoint us. If we have hope in politicians, in ministers, in ourselves, eventually we're going to be disappointed. But hope in him, never, never. He's always there. All right, so anyway, let's see. What else? What we did do in our study was we used Ascension Press's The Prophets, Messengers of God's Mercy. It's a study by Sarah Kressmeyer and Thomas Smith. And I know Sarah, she's amazing. And she worked with Jeff Cavins on the Bible Timeline. So anyway, it covers a lot of bases. It's a heavy study. But it really points out the most important things. And that is that people sin against God, they turn against him, they reject him, and God waits, calls them back. And they either say yes or they say no. And when they say no, it leads to a lot of destruction. When they say yes, it leads to wonderful things. So anyway, I wanted to share with you, it's a 10-week study. And in that 10-week study, we studied eight of the Old Testament prophets and two of the New Testament prophets. Aha, you're saying two New Testament prophets. Who were they? Well, you'll find out. I wanted to share with you a part of the intro with you to those prophets because it helps to understand. The prophets afflict the comfortable. The prophets afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. And comfort the afflicted. calling us to return to our covenant relationship with God. And in particular, the prophets do four things. First and foremost, they reveal the Father's heart, patience, and love for his people. Contrary to popular belief, God is not hail and brimstone and lightning and thunder and destruction in the Old Testament. He is a loving God that goes out of his way all the time to be a father and to call his people to the way, to the right way. And when they refuse, they destroy themselves. They destroy themselves. So the four things the prophets did was, first and foremost, revealed the Father's heart, patience, and love for his people. He sent multiple prophets over 400 years to try to win back his people to a faithful relationship, because in union with him personally and as a nation, abundance of life occurs. Abundance of life. They called the people and us to repentance, which is turning away from our sins, and that heals our relationship with him and each other. So, and then they warned them and us of judgment that will follow as a consequence of not returning to the Lord and his covenant. And they point to future blessings and restoration if and when they return to God. That will unite just all of Israel, but also eventually all the nations under the just reign of God and his anointed king, the Messiah Jesus. So, revealing the heart of the Father, calling the people to repentance, to turn away from their sin and back to God, warning, telling the truth about the consequences of sin if we don't, and pointing to us the beauty and hope of that restored relationship with God. I'm going to take a break right now. I pray that you'll stay with me and come back. There's going to be a little short commercial time, and then we'll keep going with this. All right? Stay with me. Thanks.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Everyone, welcome back. I'm Rita Halk-Lane. You're listening to Duke and Altum, or Go Out into the Deep with Jesus. And I want to invite you, if you haven't already checked into it, to a retreat next weekend. Well, not this coming weekend, June 20th through 22nd at Malvern Retreat House. Kathleen and Father Joseph Itasam are going to be hosting that retreat. And the theme is, Thus says the Lord, do not fear, you are mine. I have called you by name. And so it's the Archdiocese of Philadelphia Catholic Charismatic Retreat. But trust me, whether you're charismatic or not, you should go. Because it's really a very, very powerful, powerful retreat every year. And I promise you will not regret it. So contact the Malvern Retreat House, malvernretreat.org, I think it is, and check out their calendar, retreat calendar, and pull it up, and it'll tell you more information about it, and there you can register for it, and it's worth every penny. You get food, you get fellowship, you get teaching, you get mass. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I'm telling you, in this day and age, we all need as much encouragement as we possibly can get. And these two people, Kathleen McCarthy and Father Itasam, are going to do that for you. Okay? So please, check it out, Malvern Retreat House. Okay. I was talking in the last half hour about the prophets and the value of studying Old Testament in the Bible. And one of the things, you know, my whole life, I have had a scripture in my brain. I've loved sacred scripture my whole life. Even as a child, I can remember going out by the lake and sitting on a stool there or on a wall and just sitting there and just reading my Bible and how much I loved it. And my poor mother, whenever anybody would come to visit, you know, if there was a little disagreement going on or something like that, I would start quoting scriptures at them about how, you know, the Lord provides peace and there's good ways to settle arguments. And, you know, I was young. You know, when you believe when you're young, you believe everything. And nothing's complicated. You know, God says this, that's it. You know, but, you know, you grow up and challenges happen and you have to learn how to live those truths in a complicated world. But there's one scripture that I've had my whole life, and I remember it, and I pray it often, actually. I use it as a prayer, and it is, Thy word, God's word, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And I can't tell you where the book or verse it is, but Google it, you'll find it, because it's definitely there. Anyway, some of the key points that we have learned about the prophets, and the prophets, what they have told the people in those days, are those things are timeless. They're eternal. You know, if we sin against God, if we turn our backs on God, things happen. It's inevitable. The truth is the truth. If we turn to God, He is faithful and comes to us, and we go to Him, and things get mended. Okay? And so we can learn from them about what we're going through today. How do we deal with today? You know, it's really a blessing to know those things. But I want to share with you a few key points. There's so many of them. We could study this for months. But there's so many of them I want to share with you, since you haven't been able to do the study with us. So anyway, here are some of those things. Every prophet that we studied warned the people of the consequences of their sinfulness. Yet, there was always a promise and a hope attached to these warnings of, if you turn away from your wickedness, these promises of good. The plans of God, I have the plans for you of good. So every single warning finished with a promise of hope. Okay. And you know what? When I think about that, I think about the apparitions of Our Lady. Whether you are Catholic or not, Our Lady, Mother Mary of Jesus, has been allowed to appear a number of times, especially over the last 125 years, to people in a way, in various countries, in various situations, with lots of witnesses and lots of truth. And she has done the same. To me, she has been a prophet to our age over the last 125 years or more. She, in these apparitions, warns, just like the prophets, of pending consequences to things going on in the world that are tied to the lack of faith, turning against God, trying to govern without God, etc., etc. But she also puts hope and promises in there. If you do this and this and this, as faithful children of God, these horrible things that would come will not come. Wars, horrible things, can actually be alleviated by us being and doing and living as children of the Most High God in obedience to Him and in our lives, everyday lives. So she warns, just like the prophets. Have we listened to her? Some have, some haven't. If you're not familiar with it, look up apparitions of the Blessed Mother. Don't look at the ones that are critical and nasty about her. That's the evil one trying to turn us away from the Lord sending her as a messenger. All right, so find out what she has said over the last 100 years when she has appeared to the various people. What are the warnings? What are the things that have happened that have caused so many horrible consequences? What are the answers? What can we be doing today to be bringing light and beauty and good things instead of bad things for the future? And okay, so every prophet warned and promised hope. God created covenants throughout history with people. Covenants are exchanges of persons. They are not legal agreements. They are exchanges of persons. I give you myself. You give me yourself. We will be faithful to each other. What does that sound like? Marriage. All through Scripture, you hear about marriage as a symbol of the relationship between God and His people, God and the church. Jesus calls Himself the bridegroom. The church is His bride. Okay. So we are in covenant with the Lord. We are in a spiritual marriage with the Lord. We promise to be in relationship with Him and do what He has said, because He knows us best. He knows what's good for us. He's given us every spiritual blessing in the heavens through Jesus Christ. And then He, in His part of the covenant, is faithful to us and does His part. Okay? When we turn away from Him in disobedience and refusing to live the better way that He has set forth for us, I hate to say this, but it's true. You read it in Scripture. He considers that a form of adultery. Unfaithfulness is a form of adultery. We have turned away from Him, divorced ourselves from Him, or we have been fooling around on Him by not being in faithful and in union with Him all the time. And that's not good. It's not good. And also, like when the people refuse the Lord, this results in his protection and intimacy to be diminished. Okay, it's just like in a human relationship, only worse. When we refuse someone in a relationship, we turn our backs on that person, the protection you get from that relationship, the intimacy in that relationship is ruined. It can be, you know, God willing, it can be restored. But we find that in the Old Testament. At various times when the people fell into serious sin, they considered themselves so intelligent and advanced that they forgot God. They became their own gods. They determined what was right and wrong. And they also idolized the works of their hands, their work, their inventions, their money, their cars. They idolized all of that. I did that. We see that a lot in Scripture, a lot. And then no matter how much they rejected him or how they rejected him, the Lord continued to be with them and to pursue them for their own good out of love for them. Multiple times in Scripture, he says, I am their shepherd and I will rescue them if they allow me. So we always want to be in union with him. It is the best way and the only way to have peace and good relationships and joy and prosperity and all that we need. It's the only way. The world and we were not meant to be separated from him. We are supposed to be in union with him, and we are made to be in union with him. And we think that if we find another person, or we have more fun in our lives, or we have another drink or whatever, that we're gonna somehow get the joy of life that we know is out there, but it's not going to happen without God, and especially without Jesus Christ. It's just not going to happen. It's not. Sorry, it's true. I've lived it. I know it. But anyway, I wanted to share with you a scripture. Some scriptures. Isaiah 49:14-16. The people said, "The Lord has forsaken us. Our Lord has forgotten us." Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? You know? But the Lord responded, "Can a mother forget her infant? Be without tenderness for the child of her womb? Even should she forget, I will never forget you. See, upon the palms of my hands, I have engraved your name." Even should a mother forget and have no tenderness and forget the child of her womb, even though she would, which is hard to imagine, the Lord says, "I will never forget you. Upon the palms of my hands, I have engraved your name." So, you know, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter how hopeless it looks, as long as we have hope in God, it is never hopeless, because he's really the only one that we can trust. Yeah, bad things are going to happen, because it's not because of him, it's because we have rejected him, we have turned away from him as a nation. You know, I haven't. A lot of you haven't, but in the real world out there, a lot of people have, and corporately that reduces what he can do to bless us, to save us, to help us. So You know, I just encourage you to do your part. Be the person that the Lord wants you to be. Ask him, if you don't know what sins you have, ask him to reveal to you the sins. What am I doing wrong in life that displeases you? What am I doing right in life that makes you happy? What am I not doing that I should be doing? You know, all kinds of things like that. Ask him to reveal it to you. And then when he answers your prayer, ask him for the grace to turn away from the wickedness, the sins, and to turn towards the good, and to rebuild your relationship with him. Okay? And I went to confession today. It was a marvelous experience, as it always is. And I learned a lot. And I feel good about where I'm going now. Okay? There is... I don't have time to keep going with the prophets, but there is something else I want to share with you. I won't be here next week. I'm going to be away on business, so I can't be here next Monday. But you can listen to me on an archived show on 800 AM in the Philly Camden area, or go to WTMRradio.com, WT as in Tom, MR radio.com, and listen live at 5 o'clock, and you'll hear an archive show. But the week after, I'll be back. And what I wanted to do then is I wanted to share with you the New Testament prophets, and also one of the Old Testament prophets that really was dealing with a culture like ours. And that is Haggai. I want to share with that with you. And, you know, learn from it. Think we can learn from it together. And the New Testament prophets. Okay, so that's what I'll be sharing with you next time. But for now, I want to change horses in the middle of the stream like I do a lot of times. I want to read to you Pope Leo the 14th, our new popes, homily from yesterday at the Pentecost, the Mass of Holy Pentecost. So, dear brothers and sisters, the day has dawned upon us when, glorified by his ascension into heaven, following his resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit. Today, too, what took place in the upper room takes place anew in our midst. Like a mighty wind that overtakes us, like a crash that startles us, like a fire that illuminates us, the gift of the Holy Spirit descends upon us. As we heard in the first reading, the Spirit accomplished something extraordinary in the lives of the apostles. Following Jesus' death, they had retreated behind closed doors in fear and sadness. Now they receive a new way of seeing things, an interior understanding that helps them to interpret the events that occurred and to experience intimately the presence of the risen Lord. The Holy Spirit overcomes their fear, shatters their inner chains, heals their wounds, anoints them with strength, and grants them the courage to go out to all and to proclaim God's mighty works. The reading from the Acts of the Apostles tells us that in Jerusalem at that time there was a multitude of people from various backgrounds, yet each one heard them speaking in his own native tongue. In a word, at Pentecost, the doors of the upper room were opened because the Spirit opens borders. As Benedict XVI explained, the Holy Spirit bestows understanding. The Spirit overcomes the breach that began at the Tower of Babel, the confusion of mind and heart that sets us one against the other. The Spirit opens borders. The Church must always become anew what she already is. She must open the borders between peoples and break down the barriers between class and race. In her, there cannot be those who are neglected or disdained. In the church, there are only free men and women, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. And Pope Leo goes on to say, that was a quote from Benedict XVI. Pope Leo goes on to say, here we have an eloquent image of Pentecost, one that I would like to pause for a moment and reflect upon with you. The Spirit opens borders, first of all, in our hearts. He is the gift that opens our lives to love. His presence breaks down our hardness of heart, our narrowness of mind, our selfishness, the fears that enchain us, and the narcissism, in other words, thinking only of oneself, that makes us think only of ourselves. The Holy Spirit comes to challenge us, to make us confront the possibility that our lives are shriveling up, trapped in the vortex of individualism, me, me, me. Sadly, oddly enough, in a world of burgeoning social media, we risk being ever more alone. Constantly connected, yet incapable of networking. You know, being in union with each other, getting to know each other. Always immersed in a crowd, yet confused and solitary travelers. The Spirit of God allows us to find a new way of approaching and experiencing life. He puts us in touch with our inmost self beneath all the masks, we wear. He leads us to an encounter with the Lord by teaching us to experience the joy that is His gift. He convinces us, as we just heard in Jesus' words, that only by abiding in love will we receive the strength to remain faithful to His word and to let it transform us. Abiding in Jesus Christ. The Spirit opens our interior borders so that our lives can become places of welcome and refreshment. The Spirit also opens borders in our relationship with others. Jesus tells us that this gift is the love between Him and the Father that comes to dwell within us. The Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, I have to throw this in here, folks. The Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead and who is the love between God the Father and God the Son dwells within us if we allow Him to. And then Pope Leo goes on to say, we then become capable of opening our hearts to our brothers and sisters, overcoming our rigidity, moving beyond our fear of those who are different, and mastering the passions that stir within. The Spirit also transforms those deeper hidden dangers that disturb our relationships, like suspicion, prejudice, or the desire to manipulate others. I think, too, with great pain of those cases where relationships are marked by an unhealthy desire for domination, an attitude that often leads to violence, as is shown tragically by numerous recent cases of femicide. If you don't know what femicide is, folks, it's the murder of women and or girls simply because they are female in gender. There are some men that hate women, and so they murder them just because they're women. That's femicide, and the Pope is talking about the unhealthy desire for domination, which can cause femicide. Then he goes on to say, the Holy Spirit, on the other hand, brings to maturity within us, the fruits that enable us to cultivate good and healthy relationships. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In this way, the Spirit broadens the borders of our relationships and opens us to the joy of fraternity, of being children of the Most High God, His children, all of us together, all of us. The joy of fraternity, family. This is also a critical yardstick for the church, for we are truly the church of the risen Lord and disciples of Pentecost. If there are no borders or divisions among us, if we are able to dialogue and accept one another in the church and to reconcile our diversities, and if as church we become a welcoming and hospitable place for all. Finally, the Spirit also opens borders between peoples. At Pentecost, the apostles spoke the languages of those they met, and the confusion of Babel was finally resolved by the harmony brought about by the Spirit of God. Whenever God's breath unites our hearts and makes us view others as our brothers and sisters, differences no longer become an occasion for division and conflict, but rather a shared patrimony from which we can all draw, sharing God as our Father, and which sets us all on a journey together in fraternity, in family. The Spirit breaks down barriers and tears down the walls of indifference and hatred, because He teaches us all things and reminds us of Jesus' words. He teaches us, reminds us, and writes in our hearts, before all else, the commandment of love that the Lord has made the center and summit of everything. Where there is love, there is no room for prejudice, no security zone separating us from our neighbors, for the exclusionary mindset that tragically we now see emerging also in political nationalism, the cancel culture. It was on the Feast of Pentecost that Pope Francis observed, "In our world today, there's so much discord, such great division. We are all connected, yet ourselves disconnected from one another, anesthetized by indifference and overwhelmed by solitude. The wars plaguing our world are a tragic sign of this. Let us invoke the Spirit of love and peace that He may open borders, break down walls, dispel hatred, and help us live as children of our one Father who is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, Pentecost renews the church and the world. May the strong wind of the Spirit come upon us and within us and open the borders of our hearts. Grant us the grace of encounter with God, enlarge the horizons of our love, and sustain our efforts to build a world in which peace reigns." Pope Leo yesterday at Pentecost Mass. I have to go. God bless you all. I can't wait to be with you again, but it'll be 2 weeks from now. Take care. Bye-bye.